Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
We won't keep him waiting when he logs in. So as soon as that light goes on and Scotty Bowman's ready to go, we'll slide right over and talk to the Hockey Hall of Famer. It's 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon, getting ready for a not busy week in the Stanley Cup Final, but a resumption of the championship series. How's that?
Yeah, it's hard to imagine. Here we are, really the second weekend in June, and this is usually when we're hot and heavy into the Stanley Cup Final, and we have a Saturday, Sunday where there were no games.
Yeah.
A weekend without a Stanley Cup playoff game. So we go Friday, Monday, game three and Sunrise on Monday night. So we'll have to wait and see what happens there. I when you look at the ice time for both games in Edmonton, it's almost like the coaches – I know the second one went to double overtime, but the coaches said, you know what, we might as well play our guys, and we might as well
exactly
put it, because we're going to have 2 days off to rest, and the guys rested and recouped on the plane to Fort Lauderdale, and here we are, ready for game three.
You know, there's men's leagues that have younger players than what's happening in the Stanley Cup Final. Yeah. with star players contributing like Corey Perry and Brad Marchand.
Well, when you think about it, there was actually a point where, you know, Matthew Tkachuk's involved, Brad Marchand's involved, Corey Perry's involved, and you're saying, what type of player gets to the Stanley Cup Final? And there, you know, with all the changes that have been made to the game in the last 20 years, and the rule changes that have allowed for a lot more skating and a lot more small players to have great regular seasons. Once you get to the playoffs, the world reverts.
Well, Bennett and Kane, throw them Sam in the Bennett, next
two. It's one of those things where you look and you say, oh, my goodness gracious. It's the same Evander Kane. You know, yeah. It's the same type of person that really, same type of player that has that physical aspect to his game that becomes a difference maker. And obviously, Brad Marchand, who played really well in game one and then was even better in game two. That's the type of player you want in this situation.
Remember the shot of him in the room eating the blizzard between periods?
Yes.
It was honey.
But he was the one who said the blizzard.
I know, but I just want to clarify.
Was he trying to get a sponsorship deal?
They did go to Dairy Queen on an off day. But what he was eating in between periods was honey. So I don't want you kids out there. I don't want them.
We don't say that anymore on this show. We don't say that anymore.
Oh. Yeah, I need an updated list because the list keeps evolving of what I can and cannot say on this show.
Well, you say it anyway. I mean, it doesn't matter what I think. You say it anyway.
Some things I say just to get a rise out of you. I didn't realize that was an issue. But Scotty's here. The light is on. The Hall of Famer.
See, I get excited. I get excited when Scotty's on. So
me too, because he's as interested at asking us questions as we are to him. So there's a bit of back and forth there.
Well, and you know, the whole concept that Scotty was in Edmonton for game one, because his son Stan is the general manager of the Edmonton Oilers, to me, and Scotty's so unassuming about so many things. But can like we do know that he and Chris Knobloch had a conversation. Can you imagine Chris Knobloch, even though he's in the Stanley Cup final, even though he's coaching the Western Conference champions, standing in the hallway saying, "I'm talking to Scotty Bowman. I'm talking to a guy that has more wins than anybody else in the history of the game." And now they have something in common, too. First 2 years as coaches, they got to the Stanley Cup final.
The only thing that would have been better is if Chris would have pulled out his phone and said, can I get a selfie?
Yeah. Well, how do we know that didn't happen? No, Chris would never do that. No, Chris would never do that. That would be a little over the top for Chris.
I'm going to tell you my favorite selfie story at the end of the show. But first, Scotty's standing by. I promise we get to him right away as we continue 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Now, here's a question that's interesting from my point of view and hopefully from yours as well, the listeners. Here's Scotty Bowman joining us, his son, general manager of the Edmonton Oilers. You've been around all kinds of atmosphere. So what was Edmonton's vibe like just from somebody that's just being plopped into it?
Oh, it was so noisy. I had a seat way up in the press box, and I don't know if it was as bad downstairs, but it was really something. I mean, I don't know. I asked someone, what's going on with this hockey? It's so much different. But you know,
you're supposed to answer that because we're supposed to ask you that question, Scotty.
Well, I said, you know, the answer I got, you won't like it, but they said, well, Vegas started all this. And I said, no, I have to take part responsibility. The first team that I recall that ever had music in the building, well, it happened not just in the playoffs, was St. Louis Blues.
Sure.
Norm Kramer
was the organist. He used to play when the Saints go marching in, right?
Excuse me. And then, you know, some of the original six were really upset. I do remember Boston and Toronto. I don't know who was in Boston at the time. It was Weston Adams or somebody, maybe the owner, the late Weston Adams. But they didn't think that was hockey. They weren't used to that. But you would know, John, didn't Chicago, though, have the organist before anybody? I didn't know that. Wasn't it that famous?
Frank, yeah, it was built Frank into Pelican. The rink, basically, wasn't it?
Well, it was
a guy named Al Melgard.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
that's a name that I remember, but I don't remember going to a game in Chicago. But no, it was noisy. The Edmonton, I couldn't speak to anybody. I mean, it was just there was quiet in the second or. As the game goes on, it gets quiet. You know, then they start up again.
fans got nervous that game one because I think
that's what I said. They got nervous when they were down in the game, you know. But anyways, it's quite a scene for sure.
Yeah, I guess I described it as hockey meets Mardi Gras. You know, everybody with their face painting and everybody wearing an Oilers sweater. It is quite something.
Yeah. Well, it'll be quite like that in Florida, won't it? In Florida too.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Sure.
What do you you have seen Connor McDavid a lot over your years, whether live or in on television? Does he ever cease to amaze you?
No, I mean, it's just that being able to go at that pace with the puck is really amazing. It is true. There's a lot of fast skaters in the league now. I think most of the players, compared to when I was coaching even 20 years ago, it's so much different. It's very difficult to pick out a player that you can say he's not a really above average skater. But he has to skate with the puck a lot. He brings the puck a long time. There's not a lot of players that can carry the puck in today's game. It seems to be more crowded, because of the speed. Everybody can skate pretty well. The only other player I keep saying that I remember watching, there's been a few, but when they got wound up, Messier and those guys, but Bobby Orr.
Yeah.
When Bobby Orr started to take off, you know, the players would start to try to take a stride backwards, but they said, forget that. And they would try to skate forwards, but he would just circle around. I mean, he was a defenseman though too, but Connor does that. He plays like Bobby Orr on the power play.
Right. The closest guy, Scotty, that I could think of was Mike Modano.
Yeah, he was a real...
He was a beautiful skater.
Yeah. Gilbert Perreault is another.
Sure, sure.
Gilbert could go from end to end. Maybe he wasn't finishing like some, but he could really... When Gilbert started to move, not many people could catch up to him. And the other one, but he wasn't the same kind of player, because he didn't carry the puck. But when Yvan Cornway was just starting in the league in the mid-60s, I was at meetings because I was maybe around 68, 69, I was representing with the coaches, did the rules. And somebody wanted to put in a rule. That was the one where the puck preceded you over center. They wouldn't go for it. They said, no, Cornway is going to get such an edge. He was that fast, but he didn't carry the puck. He took off and the puck got to him.
Right.
What rule were they talking about?
The puck preceding, you could, you know, if the puck was ahead of you, you could catch up to it.
Yeah.
At center ice, you know, like as long as you, it didn't matter where you were, as long as the puck got ahead of you and you could catch up to it.
That was when there was an offside pass.
Offside pass. Center ice. Yeah. Center line.
Yeah.
They didn't want to abandon that part because they said no, Cornway got a big edge. So you know, there was other players in the league for sure. I don't know who they were right now, but
anyway. those were the days when coaches and managers wanted the rule changes to help their teams.
Well, whoever, I don't know. I imagine it's probably Boston that made the rule. I just read about it the other day. The three goals in 49 seconds that Béliveau scored. You know, that was against Detroit. I saw that the other day. He got four goals in that game, but he got three on the same penalty.
Oh, yeah. So that was when in the 2 minute minor in the 50s, you didn't get
55. 1955, because Terry Sawchuk was in the goal.
Wow.
I don't know if it was Boston. It might have been Boston. I saw Sawchuk. I think it was Boston. Is in Montreal, you know that. And they scored the three goals. In 49 seconds. Yeah.
That was on a 2 minute minor, Darren.
Just let her go.
Well, and in those days, the penalized player was not allowed to come out of the penalty box until the 2 minutes was over.
Would you like to see that again?
Oh, no, I don't think so. I mean, no, I think it's a, I mean, No, the object was that the penalty would prevent a goal. That's basically the philosophy. Like the penalties are called to replace the scoring chance that you didn't get because of the penalty. And then logically, why should you be allowed to score three goals on the same?
It didn't help the rest of the league that Montreal was so good.
Well, yeah, they had. I saw the goals too. It was Bert Olmsted was in on all three. The Rocket was in on one, and Harvey was in on one. But I saw it. But you know, you're right. It was to replace it. That's where a foul is supposed to, a penalty is supposed to replace the opportunity to score a goal.
You love to pick people's brains. Have you had a chance to spend much time with Connor McDavid?
No, I didn't. I didn't go near the dressing room. I've never met him, honestly. No.
Really?
I never met Connor. No, I never saw him. I never met him. I only came to Florida once this year, I think. They only come once.
Correct. Yeah.
And I didn't go near the dressing rooms.
What would you like to talk to him about? Or what pathway do you go down, Scotty?
Well, I mean, you just discuss the fact that how long has he been doing this? And I saw some note the other day. They asked him how was he able to do this, and how did he improve? He didn't answer the question. The other one asked, Leon Draisaitl had to answer the question. They wanted to know how did you start doing this? And I do know that when he played in Erie, I didn't see him play junior. I know he was 15 because I talked to the coach once, Chris Knobloch, and he said that the first year that he coached, Connor was a special exemption, 15 years old,
yep.
And they won 19 games. The Erie Otters won 19 games. Where do they play, 70 games?
68, yeah.
So they had 19 wins the first year that he said they didn't have any players. The guy that was with them, he was praising him because I remember him. I used to see him all the time at the meetings, but he's Sherry Bassin.
Sure,
yes.
He was the guy that, kind of ran those teams, didn't he? With Oshawa first and then Erie?
Yeah, but Sherry was the king of king of Erie for a long time, Scotty.
Yeah.
So the other aspect of this is that, and we're now after two games, it would appear that Florida's a better 5-on-5 team and Edmonton's a better power play team. Is that fair?
Well, it hasn't shown that though, because Florida's 2-on-6, and the Oilers are 2-on-11. You know, on the power play. So you know, I think what I look at the series now, it's hard to make a difference. But the when you look at the Oilers and the two games in Edmonton, I mean, the crowd and everything, they were dead even to me. The teams were not, it would be like a toss-up. If you told me who was better than the other team, it's hard to pick. You could pick and choose what you want. But, you know, at the same time, both of these teams, now the question will be, can the Oilers play? They have had a decent road record. I mean, they had to win in Los Angeles. They didn't have to, but they did win in Vegas and in Dallas. They did win, but if you take the Panthers' record, I mean, I think what happened to them this year is they slid to third. They were not worried about finishing, and I think winning those first two games in Tampa gave them the impetus. Like that really, I mean, that's a hang of a thing to go into. The second place team, Tampa, ended up a pretty good run. They won those first two games, and then look what they did with Toronto. I mean, their road record. I'm not sure of this, John, but you'd know the road and the road record is probably better than their home record, isn't it? I mean, how many games have they lost on the?
No, I think you're right, Scotty.
What did Toronto do at home against them? They lost Game 7. I don't know. I don't have the record.
They're 4-3 at home, 9-3 on the road.
That's a tremendous record. I mean, I know that's always been the theory of people is you can't take your. I remember Blake told me this. One thing when you get into playoffs, he said, you can't take your rink around with you. He used to tell me that. And he always thought, he said, it's so hard in his era, but then it changed a lot because in his era, you know, the home teams won the games. I mean, many, many series. It was four games to three if there was a, but nowadays, you know, there's very few teams that have won the Stanley Cup in the last many years that have not had to win a game away from home. You know, somewhere in the round, and you know,
all you do is look at the amount of games that in the last 15 years that are won on the road, the Stanley Cup. And the presentations for the visiting team.
Yeah, this will be a big test for the Oilers because I think it'll be a different atmosphere. Well, no, not think, I know it is, but you know the thing too is the temperature in Florida. I know the rinks are pretty modern, but you know, gee, it's going to be like, is the ice going to be the same? And you know, like you're going to the rink and you wear a jacket or something. It's going to be even hot getting out of the bus to go into the building, but it's going to be a different atmosphere for them. And obviously they have some experience. They're not a young team, but the other thing too, that's a factor is that for the most part, the Panthers have played with three lines for the most part. I was looking at the ice times the other day. And, you know, they don't have Greer's the only one that's injured, but Noshek kills some penalties, but I think he played around 12 or 13 minutes. Right. But the other two players, Boqvist and Gajewicz, they were below single. They were like 9 and 8 and 9 minutes. And most of the Oilers play, I think the least is around 15. They do play the four lines. I mean, they double up on Draisaitl and McDavid. But the three line, the way the series is set up, though, like the first two games were played a day apart. Yeah. But you know, there's a lot of adrenaline, and you're just starting. And they had a good rest. Both teams had 6 and 7 days, so they both had a good rest before the series started. Now after game two, there's 2 days in between, and then they go. They're playing tonight. They haven't played since Friday. So then it's unusual for the home. Like the next home game is not till Thursday,
right?
One game in 5 days.
Well, so that's not going to be any problem, I don't think. And you know the three lines that they play are when you think about them. The Barkov, Reinhardt, they do put Verhaeghe there sometimes, but sometimes it's Rodriguez. And then Bennett and Tkachuk have been playing together, and they get one or the other, whoever's not with Barkov. And then that other line, it's not a third line now. I mean, you know, Listerainen and Marchand and Lundell, they kill penalties. Yeah. They kill penalties, and they've been really productive. So I don't think the fatigue is going to bother a three-line team right now. I mean, I basically say that they've been playing three lines. I mean, they have had some injuries for their depth guys, so they're a three-line team. But then the fifth game is in Edmonton, but there's only 1 day travel. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. That means that next Friday, I mean, it's the same for both teams. It's always the same for both teams. But next Friday, those two teams will travel. Going, what would you say, John, from Florida, from where it is sunrise there to Edmonton, it's probably close to 6 hours.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
So I mean, well, it's a nice plane and all that, but then the next day you play.
Yeah. Well, and really at this time of year, on the off day, how much? I mean, basically, it's a recovery day anyway, isn't it? You're not practicing.
No. Oh, I mean, it's all. I know what it is. I mean, the NBA and NHL are in the finals, and they're not going to play against each other.
Right.
That's exactly what it is. I mean, one is TNT, and what's the other? Who's the? Is ESPN got the
ABC? ABC has the NBA.
So
when it's. When a series is spread out like this, is it tough on the coaches? with so much downtime? Because you're trying to figure out X's and O's and
you don't
and tweaking.
You're right, Darren, because you don't need practice. I mean, the thing you need is rest. We already had the one overtime at the end of the first period, and then the other one was we've had nearly an extra game,
in
the first. So they played a lot of hockey in Edmonton. So maybe the extra day is probably a good. They're rewound again, getting ready to play the next two games. But I think when you're in this time in the year, you don't worry about fatigue. You have to just play and rest and as much as you can. But it's close. I don't know if Edmonton, they got a real tough. I just read somewhere this morning if they've lost Hyman. He was a terrific playoff player for them this year. The big news will be it seems that Chris Knobloch, he uses his, he's a very analytical coach. And when he puts McDavid and Draisaitl together at home, it's a lot easier to get where you want them to be extra, because you have the last change. Now they won't have the last change. And Nugent Hopkins would be an important player not to have. And they said he may not play.
Game time decision, they say,
Well, if Nugent Hopkins doesn't play, then pretty well McDavid and Draisaitl have to play center on different lines. They'll go together always on the power play. But I don't know if you can put them because, when you think of Edmonton, They've got Henrique. They got a lot of centers, but if you put McDavid and the other guy together, and then you see Janmark is like they play four lines, so Janmark is not really a natural center. I don't think he's played a lot of center in his career. He's played center this year though because of the doubling up of McDavid, and they don't have Nugent Hopkins. So I don't know. You're going to be pretty weak at center.
With Scotty Bowman on 100% Hockey, we'll be back with more with Millard and Shannon right after this.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Two different coaches. One's been to the final in first 2 years in the league, and we know Paul Maurice among the all-time leaders. What do you appreciate about both guys, Scotty?
Well, I think in Paul's case, he's got, as you said, he's been to a lot of places. He's even coached in Russia. He's just got that team playing a style. I watched them play, and it is a unique style, and maybe Carolina does similar, but when the puck goes back in their own end, they usually try to come up that side. If they come up their own left side. They got a lot of left-hand shots. They got on the right side on defense, you got two. You got Seth Jones and you got the other big guy.
Nikola?
No, he's a left-hand shot. No, okay. Captain. Ekblad? Ekblad. Ekblad in here, left-hand shot. Schmidt's a right, a left-hand shot, but he plays the right side with Kulik, and sometimes Kulikov. So they, what they do when they come up the ice, they're very disciplined, and they don't lose a lot of pucks in the neutral zone, because what they do, it's a really tough thing to defend. They come up, and it's better if you're a left-hand shot coming up that side. Although I've seen Jones takes hard shots. Rim, they call them the rim. The rim is when the puck goes down the wall on the same side, it goes around behind the net, and if it's higher than on the ice, it's pretty difficult for the goalie, because you got to be careful. He could, you know, he's hard to control it. And that puck goes around the boards and comes up the right side. And usually, and you see, like if, let's take Jones or Ekblad, they're not carrying the puck up. Okay, so they know, though, that when they get to that center line, that puck is being rimmed around fast and hard, and they get to the halfway between the blue line and the goal line, and they usually have another forward with them. So when they get the puck on the sidewall, they call it the wall. I mean, it's the boards, but the sidewall, let's call it that. When they get that puck there, they got two guys there, and the other team usually has one. And now it's hard to get it out. And if they can't make a play at the net, or they don't see anything open, what do? They rim it back to behind the net. And, you know, behind the net is the play that he did a lot of great things, and he's got all kinds of records, but I don't ever remember a player that developed playing behind the net as well as Wayne Gretzky. Mm-hmm. That was, I mean, they called it his office. I mean, players do it all the time now, but Wayne was so good at that, because he could see, and he was such a great passer, and we knew what he could do. But so that's a tough thing. So Paul Maurice, he's developed that system, and boy, I'm telling you, when you get a team that does something like that, and it's not a normal type of style. So, we'll take Edmonton now. Who would they have seen? They play Carolina maybe once. Carolina does the same thing. They're not, maybe they didn't have as many high-end players, and you know, they didn't, they've had good runs in the playoffs, but it's a tough place. It's tough to defend in your own end when you've got pressure all the time coming up the sideboards, and they know where the pressure, where they want to have it. Knobloch, Chris is a very, he's been around a long places. He's been in university, he's been in junior, he's been in the American League, been in this. I don't even think people knew. I didn't even remember. He was an assistant coach in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Right. You know, so he's had a lot of experience, and he's coached McDavid. McDavid didn't finish his career. So I would say he probably coached McDavid 3 years in Erie, at least. Then he went to the Rangers farm team so he's pretty well experienced. And then they got,
what do you like about him the most tactically, or how he handles the game or approaches?
Very
game?
Calm, very calm. He's got full control of his emotions, which is not easy to do all the time, especially when you go for runs like they have now. And these are really good coaches. You don't get where they are 2 years in a row like that, and each team's got five or six new players too. It's not like they didn't lose players. They both did. It's a pretty good thing when you think of it. But yeah, I told Chris, I said, you know, you, they say that you, you, we share a record the first 2 years in the league. As first 2 years coaching, we got to the Stanley Cup final. But I said, you've already broken it. But I said, I got one record. I said, you know, some people say, oh, records are made to be broken. I really want this record to be broken, but it's not going to be broken. And I don't like it. I said, I lost 12 games in a row. I want to tell you, it's amazing. I went to see Glenn Hall. I went to see Glenn. I called his son, and he's in a assisted living. They got him off the farm, because he's 94 in October. And wow. I'm 92 in September, so we always kid each other. And he said, I had to teach you a lot about the game. And I said, I know, thank you. But anyways, I got talking to him, and I said, so I he's a great man. Oh, my goodness. We had a good talk. And I said, you know, Glenn, I got that record, and you contributed to that record. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, we lost 12 games in a row. You played most of those 12. And he said, well, yeah, but he said, you know, we did pretty well when you think of it. I said, yeah, I said, but Montreal, the first, they beat us four in a row, eh? You know, Montreal. And I said, we took them to overtime twice in two of the games. And then he said, yeah, but he said, we lost all four games because he said we couldn't score, but we only lost by one goal. He knew all the games. And then he said, wow. And yeah, we lost the last game too. Then he told me, he said, that you know that only goal that Bobby Orr ever scored? I said, yeah, I remember that one. He said, we never got much credit, but we took the Boston Bruins, who were a super team. They won 59 games, and we took them to overtime before they could win the cup. So I told Chris, I said, you know, I got 12 in a row. I told John Cooper the same thing. I met John on the ice after they lost the game against Chicago in 2015, you know, and I didn't know what nice things to say to him. I said, John, don't worry about it. I said, you won two games. I lost my first 12. And then look what he did. After that, he won a couple of cups. But you know, John, people don't realize, you know, you're not defending what we were doing, but we had about four, each of the six, and you would know, but each of the six expansion teams played together, but we got four NHL players in the draft.
Right.
And the rest we got. I mean, the American League was good in those. A lot of players were in the American League. The only reason they were in there because they couldn't score as much as the other guys, and there was only six teams.
Yeah. Hey, so when you talk about that, and, you know, you were there with in St. Louis at the beginning with Lynn Patrick, and I got thinking the other day before before the show started, was that fathers and sons' names on the Stanley Cup. The Patricks, obviously, there's lots of Patricks on the Stanley Cup, but you and Stan are on the Stanley Cup as well, fathers and sons. Well, how's Stan been with this run? Does he get nervous like you, or is he pretty low-key? More Stan's, like his mom?
Stan's low-key, and he's never been interested, and he never worries about coaching. Like, he never, you know, he had Joel Quenneville as a great coach with Chicago. So, I mean, I know he doesn't fancy himself as a coach. So I guess he didn't want to be a coach. He saw what you had to go through, but no, he's calm. I mean, he went through a real battle, Stan. So he's kind of like when he had that Hodgkin's at 34 and it came back in 6 months and then he did a stem cell. After that, he doesn't talk about it, but you know, it's 15 years ago, but no, he's fine. He likes working where he is now. He likes working with Jeff Jackson and the group. He likes Wayne's brother, Keith Gretzky. Yeah. He gets along. Keith runs their farm team. Yeah, I don't know much about Keith. I just met him when I was on the trip. I knew a little bit about him because we drafted him in Buffalo. You got a picture. We drafted Keith Gretzky when he out of playing Windsor, maybe Windsor Junior.
Yes, he did. Yeah,
but Keith wasn't as big as his brother, even, you know. But it's pretty hard to be as good as your brother.
So, yeah, but no fatherly advice for Stan?
Well, no, not really. He doesn't talk. I mean, he knows that it's a different game now, and I don't. I watch the game as a coach. I mean, I watch these teams the way they play, and it's amazing how they get these guys to play at the pace they do, and they've got a pretty veteran team. So, you know, I don't think it's a young team and they went through it last year. There'll be a big test in Florida. That'll be the test because they lost home ice. But like I said earlier, you're not going to win a Stanley Cup. I doubt it now in today's hockey. If you can't win a game on the road or two, and it's been proven many times, like you said, the way the cup is presented many times away from the home rink.
Yeah. Hey, so game one, the winning goal was Draisaitl from Perry and McDavid. What do those three have in common with Blake, Locke, and Richard?
Oh, gee. All
three Hart Trophy winners.
Yeah, and the Rocket later stayed a long time, too, and he was the veteran when he was playing with his brother and Dickie Moore. That was a good line. But at the Rocket, the last 5 years that he played with his brother, you know. And, no, I didn't see a lot of that line because Toe got injured in 1948. So I was just starting to watch the NHL. But you're right. It's been a great run for Corey Perry to be able to be at the level he's at and get on teams that have been pretty good and you know, obviously still be productive. And Draisaitl has been a wonderful player. I mean, he's a big, strong kid from Europe. I would say Locke and Richard were the two on the. I mean, I didn't see a lot of Toe. Toe was there much before I was watching, but I did see Elmer Locke and the Rocket play, and they were quite a tandem.
I guess they were on a line together briefly, the three of them, and I think they had one or two goals where they all played together and assisted. So it was one of those key. That's one of those great little trivia things. When you have three Hart Trophy, Hart Trophy winners like Perry, Draisaitl, and McDavid, and those two, the Locke, Richard, and Blake line were the only other line to do it.
You come up with these records that nobody else seems to remember.
That's good. Yeah, no, the other thing is that when you tweaked about Corey Perry, he's a 40-year-old. Of course, when you were coaching in St. Louis, you needed 40-year-old players to play in that league, didn't you?
Yeah, we got retreads, and we were fortunate. The ones we got, they really contributed. Dickie Moore scored 7 goals in the playoffs, and we didn't score a lot of goals. It's amazing. He missed 3 seasons, and he came out of retirement. Doug Harvey played at 44 years old in the playoffs. And Jock Plante, I think he was a year older than Glenn. And he played in a tandem for 2 years with Glenn Hall. And the veteran, we had Al Arbor. We can't forget Al. Al joined our ranks when he was 34 years old. He was going to retire, and we had to sign him to a 3-year contract. He was playing assistant coach in Rochester to Joe Crozier. So we were lucky that we drafted him. I mean, he helped develop Barclay Plager into a really good NHL defenseman, and you know. So the veterans, I mean, we went through quite a playoff run. We only had two rounds before we got in the finals. But, you know, those guys, when they got in the playoffs, it was special for everybody. And, I mean, it was pretty confident for a young coach to have guys that have been through everything, you know.
Well, it was, I mean, it's funny. For some reason, I remember those expansion was such a cool thing for the NHL at that point, and how many more guys got jobs out of it. But I have a really fond memory for. I hate to say it, I have a really fond memory of you losing 12 straight games in the final.
Well, I mean, yeah, the first 2 years we were close. I mean, not close. We were close in the games. Like, we didn't get disgraced. The third year was tough. Boston did come in and beat us 6-2, I think, right in our own rink. But, you know, we were really that last game that when Bobby scored the winning goal, we were up in that game, you know, John, and not excuse or anything because we wouldn't have won. But we got a face-off interference penalty midway through the third period. Of course, Glenn Hall. And Jock played a lot during the playoff. But Glenn was, imagine when you think back of it, We didn't win a game in the finals in that 1 year, and he won the Conn Smythe. Was that the first year
Conn
he won?
Conn Smythe, yeah.
We beat Minnesota in a seventh game in the second overtime, and it was Minnesota. We beat them 2-1, and Glenn had 55 shots. He let in 54. And Cesar Maniego had 54 shots and let in 2. I mean, it was goaltending.
Wow.
The goaltending was superb, you know, we had veteran goalies. They were both. I mean, Cesar would, by that
was
time.
Was that the overtime goal that Ron Schock scored?
Yeah, Ron Schock scored a goal in overtime. A breakaway, a beautiful goal. Something like Marchand scored the other night. But not in the first goal that he scored. You know, he's amazing player, that guy, Marchand, boy. Imagine he's got 3 goals already. And everybody's given him a lot of credit, which he deserved. But, you know, picking up, when you think of that team and you watch them play and you see the minutes, Seth Jones is playing 33 minutes a game and he's playing superb. You know, imagine, take Seth Jones and Marchand out of the lineup. It's amazing how good they've been for that team. And, you know, the credit to the management team, and they got a really strong team, eh? Because, I mean, people don't realize, I sit at games in Tampa with Paul Fenton. Now, he's had experience with Nashville. He was in managing a little bit with Minnesota. They had Les Jackson. I think he just stayed on as a consultant this year, but Bill Zito brought him along. And then the other guy that nobody ever talks about, and I know him because he was with us for a bit in Chicago too. He finds players, Rick Dudley, and he's had experience in the front office. So, you know, when you get players, where did Mikola play? Mikola, where did he come from? Was it St. Louis or no?
St. Louis, they got traded to the Rangers and then got signed as a free agent from the Rangers.
Well, I mean, imagine getting players like we've mentioned on their team, because it's not a team. And so Edmonton's similar too, but like Barkov was drafted by them for sure, and Lundell. They were both good drafts. Dale Talon drafted Barkov, and he drafted Lundell at around 12 or something, or 15. But a lot of the other players, like Reinhart, was a trade. Eh? Like, you know, Tkachuk and Bennett, both in trades, and you know, so that team doesn't have a lot of. Players that Ekblad was a captain. He was drafted right behind somebody. Was he drafted number one or two? I don't know. He was a top draft pick, but Ekblad but they pick up players from other teams, and it's not like as if they've been given them, because they had to trade for them.
Dale signed goalie Bob Sergei Bobrovsky. And a lot of people rolled their eyes when he paid them $10 million.
But the big draft was not many people had Barkov.
Right.
Was he drafted number one or two?
He was two.
Who was one? Drouin? Was it Drouin?
No, Drouin was 3. Seth Jones was 4. Because everybody thought Seth Jones was going to go 1.
You got to be in the right place at the right time, and Edmonton made some good additions this year too. You know, they got a staff of people that must have got out and said, "Hey, we need to do this and do that." You know, and they gave maybe some picks, but they got guys like, you know, Wallman and these guys are. If they didn't have those guys, they would be in difficulty themselves. So it just shows.
You know, you're talking about that, and you're right about Zito getting credit, but Dudley and those guys getting a lot of credit. And you know who's Kenny Holland? You know, your old friend Kenny Holland did a pretty good job in Edmonton.
I know he did. He's still going to work. He's going to work in L.A. now.
Yeah. And by the way, Nathan MacKinnon was the first overall that year that Barkov was number 2.
Wow, that's pretty good.
And your comment on Dudley's is great. He was a manager of four different teams over the course of his career. And what a luxury to have him hanging around as a special advisor.
Darren, what he does to, he doesn't live too far from here. He lives in right. Lewis, and he gets in his car and he drives everywhere. He's a unique man. He knows players. He definitely knows players. So it must be, those are the guys you want to have with your organization. I'm sure everybody tries to get them, and some of them work out and some don't, but that's why it's going to, I think it could go, if they could grab a game in there in the next couple of days, we're going to have a long one. But if we don't, home ice, I don't know if home ice is going to be, these guys are so experienced now. And when you get down to playing in the second year in a row of the Stanley Cup in the seven, and you're into the finals, I mean, nothing's new. It's not new. They went through it, these guys. Not all players, but when you have 70% or 75% of your team that went through it last year, they can pretty well take charge for the guys. And I think that's what these have. They have a very experienced group on both of these teams. And hopefully we'll see more good hockey in the next couple of days, 3 days.
Last one for you before we leave. You caught up with Glenn Hall. If he's off the farm, who's painting the barn?
Well, that's the best one, because I didn't know this, but his son, Lindsay, Pat, I know Pat. Pat's 69. He was born when Glenn played in Detroit. But Lindsay stays there most of the time. And, it's pretty close. They lease the land to, and that's the story, Dan. I could tell you that when we got Glenn Hall from Chicago, because they kept DeJordy, Dennis DeJordy was the young goalie of the two, so they kept Dennis. And we got him, and he had a year left on his contract. He had a second year at $35,000. Players never had two-year contract, but he did. Chicago had won the cup, and he was a standout for sure. Blackhawks, they should have won a couple more. But anyways, he came to us, and the contract was over. And He at the end of the first year, he said, was one stories that he might retire, and we didn't have free agency like it is today. So, anyways, the son of the owner of the St. Louis Blues was quite a golfer, and but the end of June, we went to Canadian Amateur, had a big tournament out in Mayfair Country Club out in Edmonton, and we went out to play. He went to play. He only played maybe half a day, and he said, he was having a bad day. So let's get out of here. We had to go and see. We had to go sign Glenn Hall, and we drove up the lane to the Stony Plains where he lived, and we got fooled too, because the first year we had a 4 week training camp, and of course he said, I only can go for 2 weeks. I got to paint that barn. What he had done in Chicago for 3 years. And so we didn't say anything. We didn't know anything about it. And we got up there, and he's sitting in his chair right outside waiting for us. But the early July, maybe the middle of it. And we say, well, where's the barn? And then he said, well, I don't mind telling you, because he said, I don't know if I'll even play next year. But if I do play, I still won't be in for training camp until the last 2 weeks. He said, I never had a barn. He said, I always leased. We found out. The owner's son and myself, he said, we lease our land. I don't farm. He said, I live here. And he said, I lease my land to my neighbors. So that's the part. Good guy.
It's outstanding. You can't take your rink around with you. That's another quote that I'm going to steal from you. Thanks, Scotty. Enjoy the rest of the Stanley Cup final. Pleasure talking to you again.
Good luck, guys. Thanks. Bye, John.
Bye, Scotty.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
I did not know the barn story, that the barn didn't exist.
Well, there goes the myth.
Yes.
There goes the myth. It's over. It is over. You know, so it's one of those things.
I thought that he would watch. I thought he would watch as the father, but he's so dialed into hockey. He's not watching as Stan's dad. He's watching as a coach.
By the way, did you notice his little jab at new coaching terminology?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Did you? You know, we on the half wall. Well, we called it the boards.
The boards. It's not the wall.
It's the boards.
It's like zone entries, zone exits, like all that kind of stuff.
You know, time and space. What was that? Time and space. How about check the guy?
just take away the room. Don't give him room. That's all.
Yeah.
On the subject of coaching, congratulations to Spencer Carberry, not just the Jack Adams Award winner for NHL Coach of the Year, but the first guy to ever win Coach of the Year in the ECHL, the AHL, and the NHL, and did it all with the same organization, a Washington Capitals affiliate or the Capitals.
And had actually left the organization for a year to coach in Toronto before they returned to Washington. Yes. His old friend, Jared Bednar, would probably be one of the few guys that would have that opportunity to win all three coaching awards. Now he's got the Stanley Cup, he's got the Calder Cup, and he's got the Kelly Cup. Mm-hmm. By the way, did you see who won the Kelly Cup?
No.
It's over already. Oh, so congratulations to the Trois Rivières Lions, or in English, the Three Rivers Lions. Mm-hmm. They won the Kelly Cup on the weekend. It looked like it was a great celebration in Three Rivers, or as we now say, Trois Rivières.
There's a story, it was probably 7 years ago, where I think it was Colorado won the Kelly Cup, and then they went to the American Hockey League.
Right.
And they wouldn't give the Kelly Cup back. I think they had to get a new one, a new Kelly Cup.
Ralph Backstrom was big out there then. Ralph Backstrom, who played for Scotty for a few years. But
wouldn't give it Ralph back. Backstrom,
yeah.
We're keeping it.
were going to tell me a selfie story.
So the expansion draft for the Vegas Golden Knights, this is before I ever worked for EGK. I co-hosted the expansion draft with Catherine Tappan at the NHL Awards on the Las Vegas Strip. And I was backstage, and they were doing the top 100, or all the legends were there. And Wayne and all these superstars are back there. But Bernie Perron is presenting the Vezina Trophy that night. And he grabs me because he saw me up front, and he's like, I need to know. I can't go out there and say crap. They want me to say crap, and I can't say crap. I said, what are you talking about? So he shows me his script, and it's craps that they want him to say. I said, Bernie, it's a gambling term. It's not crap. I can't say. And he said the S word, poop. I can't go out there and say that. And I said, no, you're all good. And he goes to walk away, and I grabbed him by the back of the jacket. I still feel bad to this day. I said, Bernie, can I get a selfie with you? So it's on my wall of fame, Bernie Perron, off of
beside
crap.
His mask.
I did not have that mask, that replica of Bernie Perron's mask at the time. But he was my first favorite goalie, Bernie Perron. Skate saves. Yeah. I would like to see you do skate saves. Make saves, skate saves.
You'd like to see me in skates first, wouldn't you?
Yeah, good point. So, do you have any feeling, any vibe about the Stanley Cup final?
Ebbs and flows. I'm if you're an Oilers fan, I'm concerned today. I don't like if you're cheering for the Edmonton Oilers, I'm not happy about losing home ice.
Yeah.
And I just you know the way that Florida plays, and they play a take no prisoners style like hockey to go into that building. It's going to be difficult for the Oilers. Now, the Oilers have done it. They won there last year in the Stanley Cup final. They can come back there for sure. But when you consider no Zach Hyman and potentially no Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, that's a concern.
Well, both teams could have a 2-0 lead. So it's even.
No, that's right. You're right. That's how close it is. I expect overtime tonight, though. So
3 games in a row.
Yeah, might as well.
Yeah, we'll get 2 days off between games and no travel. Give everybody something to do. Hang out instead of going to the elbow room. It'd be jam-packed again. Get a T-shirt. Enjoy it.
The elbow room will be busy tonight, and I assume it will be busy tomorrow night. It won't really be busy Wednesday.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Happy hour, Monday, Tuesday night specials at the elbow room. Get ready to go. Thanks, John. Appreciate it. And thanks for bringing us Scotty Bowman. What a treat that was, just listening to him riff about past and the present and making it seamless.
All you do is you just turn the mic on and sit back.
And nobody hangs up faster after the Zoom. There's no, like, chatting at the end of it.
Hey, listen, he's probably got a tea time.
He probably does too. We'll talk to you next time.
Transit Valley Golf Course.
Mayfair, that was a good drop too, back in Edmonton in the day. We'll talk to you next time on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. John, be safe out there.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your 2 free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.